This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2010. I'm Caleb Brown. The president's race to the top fund, part of the stimulus plan, builds on President Bush's No Child Left Behind Act, at least in one sense. It is continuing to inject the federal government into decisions about public education, best left to state and local governments. So says Cato Institute policy analyst Adam Schaefer.
The president plans to spend a few billion dollars essentially injecting the federal government into a policy direction role in terms of what the states and now districts do. He got some resistance from state governments, in particular Texas, as Governor Perry has been the most prominent, who did not want to increase federal involvement even for a few million extra dollars. They thought the opportunity costs were too much, filling out the paperwork for possibly not even winning the prize. And then also situating the state where they're beholden to the federal government for their reforms and what they think is working rather than what the state government or local districts think are working. The president then proposed to go around the states directly to the districts to disperse the funds, essentially cutting out the state's policymaking role in education. And that's a very aggressive move. The federal government really has no business whatsoever constitutionally being involved in education policy, and they certainly don't have a role in cutting out the responsible level, which is the state government.
The No Child Left Behind Act essentially laid all the groundwork for doing exactly this, though.
Oh, that's correct. No Child Left Behind. George Bush was big on expansion of federal control and federal spending on K through 12 education. It's been a bipartisan problem for decades, really. The Republican Party has resisted to a fairly significant extent until George Bush entered office, George Bush the second. And that's a significant problem moving forward. I think people might realize now with a Democratic president in office and him aggressively expanding on what President Bush did, maybe might start realizing some of the problems that they had with it a couple decades ago. And find that resistance is probably a good thing again.
It's hard for states to turn this money down, and probably hard for districts to turn this money down, given the fiscal shortfalls that a lot of states and local governments are facing.
It's always difficult for politicians to turn down what they see as free money. Of course, it's not free. They actually have to spend a good deal of money putting together these proposals. It's not an easy thing, and they're not guaranteed that they'll get the funds afterwards, so they could be putting in a pretty substantial cost up front for not that much reward down the line. They're also committing to oftentimes reforms that might cost them money long term. So they might get some money up front. Overall, it's not a huge sum of money, and they're not guaranteed that that this will fund any reform that they come up with long term. So really, it could put a lot of states in a problem where they need to spend a lot more money because they gave a plan to the federal government and they're supposed to stick by it.
What's the federal government's record in getting involved in K-12 education thus far?
Well, the record of the federal government is dismal in K-12 education. They've doubled per pupil spending over the last few decades with absolutely zero discernible effect. Test scores on the nation's report card, the NAEP test, have stagnated. In science, they've actually gone down fairly significantly. But really, it's just been kind of a random walk around no change. So over the last 30 years, the federal government has vastly expanded its involvement, and really we have nothing to show for it. And one of the main programs, this isn't out of the Department of Education, but it has a preschool component, which is one of Obama's central planks in his education philosophy and policy program, is preschool and early childhood initiatives. Head Start just recently came out with a study that assessed the impact of Head Start on a control group and a treatment group. It was a controlled, randomized study like they use in medicine. They found by first grade absolutely no difference between the control and the treatment group. In other words, Head Start has no effect by first grade. It really has no long-term effect whatsoever. So they've wasted billions of dollars over the past decades on this program that they now want to double down on and expand. And this is one of the things that the Department of Education has been encouraging the states to look into expanding on their own preschool and early childhood initiatives. President Obama wants to expand himself. And the Race to the Top funds are attempting to do similar things at the state level in K through 12, expand charter caps. But that doesn't really do anything, we know. We need to have better, more effective school choice at the local and state level.
It seems odd that a plan to inject the federal government more deeply into policy decisions that ought to be made at the state and local level is actually a portion of the stimulus plan.
Right. Well, according to the reigning philosophy in the administration, I think anything is stimulus, right? Anything they want to do is stimulus for the economy. I mean, and there's some kind of long-term argument to make. Obviously, if you improve education dramatically over time, that's going to have an effect on your economy. It's not going to have an immediate effect, except for on the actual government employees that currently work in the public school system. And I think that might be one part of the impetus for the administration injecting so much money into education right now. It sounds good. It's for the children. In reality, it's to maintain union jobs, teacher union jobs, in a bloated, ineffective, and overstaffed public education industry.
What should states do to reassert their primacy in setting these types of policy decisions?
I think the states could go a long way in getting control over education again and fending off the federal government's involvement simply by getting control of their own budget and their own situation themselves. Obviously, we see in countless areas of policy, when the states don't take care of it, the federal government injects itself into that area. The same thing's going on with education. There's been a constant push to a higher level of government. The states have control right now. They can save a huge amount of money on K through 12 education simply by allowing parents a greater choice. Charter schools save money. Private schools save even more. When kids switch from public to private school on the basis of a tax credit or some other private subsidy for their education, there's a huge savings at the state and especially the local level. And we've seen that in countless programs and all the school choice programs currently running, that they can save a huge amount of money. In Florida, they save about $1.50 for every dollar invested in tax credits. So it's a 50% return on every dollar invested. That's huge, and it's immediate. With that savings, they can work on reforming the public education system. They won't need the federal government to prop them up, even in this time of economic difficulty, if they simply move to what most parents want, which is greater choice and freedom in education.
Adam Schaefer is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. You can read more of his work at cato.org.